Hello and welcome to the second of Tetra's Fireside Chats. Last month we talked with Dr. Sean Lundy. We looked back at 2024 and ahead to 2025. And this month I'm delighted to be joined by Johnny Snelling, who is a Head of Business Development and Prism Commercial Manager here at Tetra Consulting. We will be talking about working at height. Working at height, I didn't realise until I started talking to Johnny, is the number one cause of fatalities in the UK when it comes to the building industry. So it's really important and something that a lot of people don't necessarily spend that much time thinking about. That's what today is, to give you an introduction to what working at height is, talk a little bit about our services. Johnny, before I get into the questions, could you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do here at Tetra?
Yeah, thanks, Magnus. Hi, everyone. My name's Johnny Snelling. As Magnus mentioned, I'm the Head of Business Development here and also Prism Commercial Manager. I've been at Tetra for nearly 3 years.
Okay, so why are we doing this? Why is working at height so important in workplace safety?
So working at height is a relatively unknown area of compliance. It's very technical and often involves areas where your normal day-to-day building manager doesn't really venture into. Working at height is the leading cause of workplace incidents in the industry, and over 45,000 non-fatal injuries are reported annually in the UK. So it's a massive risk in the industry, and it's something that I feel needs to be explored, and it needs to be detailed in a lot greater open chats like this one.
Excellent. And what exactly is working at height? How would I describe what it is and understand what it is?
So there's a question. I mean, a lot of people think working at height only applies if you're on the roof, for example. That's completely not the case. Working at height, according to the HSE, involves any place where a person could be injured falling from any height. So it could be falling off a stepladder or falling off of a chair, for example. I think the actual definition and the understanding of that definition is definitely blurred in the industry, and I feel that that needs again to be properly defined through consultancy and chats like this one.
And what legislations are at play here? What legislations govern working at height?
So there's three main legislations that working at height fall under. You've obviously got the Working at Height Regulations 2005, and that outlines the steps to ensure risks are mitigated and managed efficiently. We then have the Health and Safety at Work Act, which then sets out a framework for workplace health and safety in general. But then we also have the PUA 1998, the Provision and Use of Work Equipment Regulations. So that alludes to things like mutes and equipment is safely maintained and upkept for use.
And a mute's one of those...
mobile elevation work platform.
There you go.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day. And in terms of fall protection from working at height, I understand there's a kind of hierarchy of things that you should attend to and deal with. What is that?
Yeah, so the first and main item within working at height is, if you can avoid working at height, absolutely do so. The second is use passive collective fall protection, i.e. guardrails, fixed ladders, etc., etc. Apply work restraint systems to prevent falls, so that's things like latchways or flexible lifelines where you clip on with a harness so you can't actually fall off the edge of a building. Administrative controls, which is such things like training, making sure that contractors are submitting relevant RAMs, and also being up to the level where you can assess RAMs adequately to make sure that the contractor is detailing every kind of mitigation before they go up onto a risk area.
Great. And what are some common working at height challenges?
So obviously we have the obvious ones, being able to access roofs, doing it safely, making sure we have the adequate documentation from contractors before we issue permits for work. But also there is a lot of complication and misunderstanding actually around British Standard 7883, which is to do with fixed anchor points. So things like your lifelines, eye bolts, fixed ladders, they all fall under this British standard. Now, with any piece of equipment that is involved in the British Standard 7883, has to have what is called a system technical file. So a system technical file is a collation of documentation that ranges from drawings, photographs of installation, O&M manuals, proof of maintenance, like maintenance records. And often we find that there are pieces of that information that are missing. Now, without all of the information, you will not get a pass in line with the British standard. You may receive things like a conditional pass if you're missing minor pieces of information, but you will not get that full pass. There is also two versions of this. So it was updated in 2019, but for any installations prior the update, there is a different set of regulations, although they come with the same grading, but certain considerations are taken into play because it wasn't designed in line with the current regulation. We've done a lot of work with our clients to assist with obtaining this documentation, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later on. But yeah, the documentation around pieces of equipment fall arrest is quite confusing. And understanding what you have, what you don't have, etc.
So, and how often should equipment and the risk assessments? How often are they reviewed? Is there regulation behind it? Is it something you should do? How does it work?
Yeah. So, I mean, every piece of equipment should be inspected, number one, by a competent person. Inspection shouldn't be completed by people on site, building managers, that sort of thing. You need to have a specialist person come in who has the right competencies to do so and to issue you that conformity certificate. Risk assessment should be reviewed annually or when there is any significant change to the work environment, i.e. you're having a new lifeline put on the roof, for example, or you're having a gondola put in inside a building or a gantry. That would then require a review of that risk assessment. Mm. But annually they should be reviewed just to make sure everything is as it should be.
Okay. And I understand that lifeline systems can be expensive. Are there alternative options to that?
Yeah, so I mean, with a lifeline system, effectively it is stopping you from falling off the edge of a building. They are very costly. They do take a lot of work to install. There's different ways of installing them, but generally they go through the membrane through the roof material. There are some that can clamp on. You can also get portable or weighted lifelines, but there are absolutely ways in which you can get the same access through a different means. For example, if it's gutter cleaning, which is done maybe once or twice a year, you may want to invest in hiring a MUP for that day, which is the mobile elevation work platform. Mm-hmm. It might be more cost effective to hire a MUP twice a year than spend thousands of pounds putting in a whole lifeline system that will need servicing, need maintenance, and only be used twice a year, very rarely. So, and that's again something that we can assist with through our Work and Height consultancy team.
And so often there's a scenario in which you've got contractors working on your space above the roof. Why is it important to provide roof inductions to those individuals?
So a roof induction is an invaluable document, actually, and it's something that we can provide as part of our Work and Height consultancy. But a roof induction is effectively an aerial plan of a roof area. It details where any hazards are, i.e. fragile surfaces like skylights, or kind of glazed areas. It also details where your exit points are, but also more importantly, where your fall arrest equipment is. So it details exactly where the flexible lifeline is, where there are eye bolts, etc., etc. Now, we recommend that these are put in chip packs, which is a contractor hazard information pack, which can form part of the induction before the contractor enters the roof space. We also recommend that the roof induction is displayed at the point of entry onto a roof area as well. So contractors know where to go, where not to go, and how to act appropriately.
Great, okay. And in terms of Tetra's services, I know we've recently kind of expanded them in this space. Just talk about what we can do, how we can help you as a property manager.
Yeah, absolutely. So currently we have three Work and Height consultants placed strategically around the UK to give us national coverage. All of them have very high levels of competency, and each one has a very niche expertise area. So we have one consultant that was involved with another company that was installing of lifelines. So he knows exactly what he's doing in terms of looking at the installation, etc., etc. Another one is an IPAF instructor. So he has got very high levels of competency with MUPEs and kind of mobile elevation equipment. And then the last one is an IRATA level 3, which is the highest level of rope access that you can obtain as well. So we have three very high level competent working at height consultants. We have a couple of core services that we can provide. So we do a general working at height risk assessment, which covers all working at height activities across the building. We then have a working at height compliance assessment that does focus on BS 7883, so your fixed anchor points and your fall arrest systems. The risk assessment is designed in line with the British standard, so it takes into consideration the grading system, pass, conditional, fail, fail. And alongside that, we also provide a roof induction at the same time. So when we come and do your compliance assessment, you will receive two documents, your actual assessment and your roof induction, as mentioned earlier. Now, we do provide other consultancy services. So we provide competent support for working at height, and that can involve drafting policies, procedures, pre-permit checklist. So we've just done a couple for one of our clients in terms of rope access and utilising davit arms, which is basically suspends a cradle. We also provide decommissioning services and asset analysis. So they go in conjunction with one another, i.e. we will have a site visit from our consultant. We'll go over all the assets on site, assess how often they're used, is there a cheaper or a safer alternative to accessing that roof? If there is, that can be applied for decommissioning. We can then return and actually do that decommissioning visit. We have official tags that have all been approved, and we provide a decommissioning certificate for every piece of equipment that has gone through that process. It will then be sent to you for your reference. Obviously, when an item is decommissioned, it can no longer be used. And it then falls away from requiring system technical files and servicing because it's no longer in use. We are also looking into upskilling our consultants to provide recertification services as well. So if one of your lifelines or your eyebolts has failed, we can come assess it and recertify it and give you a certificate of conformity. And then lastly, with the system technical file, what we were talking about earlier, we can provide a working at height package where we effectively do a full gap analysis, look at the documents that you do have, assess their suitability, and then provide recommendations based on our findings, i.e. provide you an action plan, and then help you obtain those missing pieces of information, whether it be acting on your behalf with the contractor or providing some of those documents ourselves. The last one wasn't the last one. The last one is a project management side of the business. So actually managing your remediation, installing of lifelines, removal of lifelines. That's something that we can do and manage that whole process from start to finish and round that whole process up with a final visit from one of our consultants just to make sure everything that has been done is up to the relevant standard as well.
And so somebody managing a property might go, well, I'm not sure this is right for me or whether I need to be bothering. What kind of organisations are we working with?
So we are working with a whole plethora of organisations and client types from commercial right the way through to student accommodation. We have done sporting stadiums, massive residential tower blocks, small commercial offices, large commercial offices. Anywhere where the roof is accessed on a regular basis or even seldom accessed, but if a contractor is going up on that roof, you should ideally have a working at height compliance assessment and a roof induction, just so the people that are going on the roof know exactly where to go, where not to go. So like I said, we work with a whole range of different clients, from very small clients to whole portfolios of our key clients as well. It's an initiative that is not going to go away. It's going to become more and more prevalent as we move forward, and it's something that, you know, I feel has been not fully understood for a while, and this is why we're trying to get this information out to our clients.
And that's the impression I get, is that because it's almost like out of sight, out of mind, and you know, I'm not necessarily certain people are thinking about it as much as they should do.
Well, absolutely. You know, there's instances where your roof area might be an FRI, but if you are responsible for the maintenance of the lifeline on that roof or the eye bolts, if something happens, you would be responsible for that. Mm. Even though it was an FRI space, you're responsible for the maintenance of that piece of equipment. So I think that there's a lot of grey areas and a lot of unknown with what's my responsibility, what isn't my responsibility. And if anyone does have any questions, please do feel free to contact us and we'll happily provide you advice.
Great, thank you. And last question, I asked Sean this last month, I'm going to ask you now. How would you describe the property safety risk management industry, the one we're in, if it were a song?
Okay, that's one hell of a question.
I know.
If I could summarise the industry by one word, I guess it would be change. We're continuously evolving. I mean, we've seen that with building safety case, that's continuously changing. The focus on work and a height, that's going to become more. So I would probably say David Bowie changes.
There you go. Thank you very much, Johnny. That was really informative. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.